Hello, everybody! Recruiting Animal here! It is December 17th, 2008, at 1 p.m. We'll have Maureen Sherub, the Queen Bee of Telephone Sourcing. Come on, she'll tell you everything you need to know about telephone sourcing. Call in with your questions. Now, Maureen had a guy in her class yesterday named Glenn Cathy. I'm going to give him the middle initial of W because I think it sounds good with his name. His name is Glenn W. Cathy. And anyway, this guy, he came on and he spilled his guts about his Boolean search strings. And in return for all that information, all he wanted me to do was swear that I would mention him to my friends. Well, off this show, I don't have any friends who are interested in that kind of thing. You thought I was going to say I don't have any friends, but I do. They're just not interested in me. They don't care what I do, but you are. So he wanted me to tell you to go to his website, and here it is, www.BooleanBlackBelt.com. I also want to give a heads up to a newcomer called Eric Gilson. He's the director of sourcing at Blue Speed Technology, Inc. I don't know if I'm causing him any problems or doing him a favor by mentioning that name, but let me tell you, this guy is a real American, because you know what the motto of his company is? Helping the fast eat the slow. It takes guts to say that, if you ask me. You couldn't say it in Toronto. Canadians don't like it, even though that's what we do, too. Now, Eric came to the class. He saw Glenn spilling his guts, telling everything, and he got so excited that he had to get into the action, too. He offered to give out his Boolean secrets. All you have to do is send him an email. You can get his address at magicmethod.ning.com. Now, I know that my guest for today, the Sultan of social media, the pride of St. Louis, Jim Durbin, is waiting in the wings. But before I open his mic, I want to go to my mailbag for a minute. And let me tell you, I got a lot of email after my show with Peggy McKee last week. And I want to share some of it with you. I've taken out the rough language because you know me. I don't want to offend anybody. So here we go. I can't say the same about my correspondence, though. Believe you me. Dear Recruiting Animal, I'm a first-time listener and a last-time listener. All through the show, one question came to mind. Where's the beef? Every time the guest tried to say something about recruiting, you cut her off. You find tough women sexy? Who cares? Here's a tagline for you. Recruiting Animal, the master of aimless radio. Well, for the record, I didn't say I found tough women sexy. I know what he's talking about, but that's not what I said. Here's another letter. Dear Recruiting Animal, I don't mind if you try to be entertaining, but you're not entertaining. Dear Recruiting Animal, do you ever wonder why you don't have any sponsors? For the record, yes, I do. Dear Recruiting Animal, I finally figured out who you are. You're the Sarah Palin of Recruiting Radio. That's all I'm going to read right now, and everyone who wrote in, I'd like to thank you for taking the time. I appreciate your thoughts, but you know what? I've heard worse from better people. I've heard worse from better people, except for the guy who said I'm like Sarah Palin. He thinks that's an insult, but you know what? He's right. I'm the Sarah Palin of Recruiting Radio, because just like her, I'm a tribune of the people. Let me ask you this. Who are my guests? Big shots with their big words, or recruiters in the trenches who can see the enemy from their front doors? And let me ask you this. Does the conversation here sound like something you might hear in a Starbucks in Washington or in the beer store in Wasilla? And let me ask you this. Is my daughter pregnant? No, but if I had one, she might be. So, Mr. Critic, let me say that you got me right. I am the Sarah Palin of Recruiting Radio, and I wear that badge with honor. I wear that badge with pride. And now, Let's turn to my guest for today. In my opinion, he's one of the great communicators of the recruitosphere. He's a natural-born teacher and a sweet-talking devil who can get his message across to people at any level of the corporate ladder. His name is Jimmy Durbin of socialmediaheadhunter.com. And to all my critics, let me ask you this. How do you think Jimmy got here today? Did I have to beg him? No, he booked himself. He called me and said, hey, recruiting animal, I want to be on your show today. So here he is, Jimmy Durbin, speaking to me, the recruiting animal, on the Recruiting Animal Show. A little long, but let me see. Jimmy Durbin, are you there?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Oh, I can hear you. Thank goodness. Hey, I got to apologize. That music was a little longer than I planned. I don't know what happened. But Jimmy.
It got me over from laughing. Fantastic,
yeah.
Intro.
Okay. I got to say something. Just leave it for me for a second. Before we get going, a question just popped into my mind. I hadn't planned it, but I want to ask you. You're a social media expert, so let me ask you this. I got a guy following me now on Twitter. He just signed up. His name is Anal.
What?
Should he change it, or is that a unique branding opportunity?
He should change it.
He's a foreigner. I'm sorry to say it, but English is the world language now. So,
Anil?
What?
You sure it's not Anil?
A-N-I-L? That's Anal to me.
That's Anil.
That's anal of me. I don't know. You know, remember when Uranus came or something? They started saying Uranus. I don't know. When you see Uranus, you can kiss your ass goodbye. You remember that one? I won't forget him. That's why I have to
think of a Neil Dash like six apart.
Okay, he doesn't spell it like that. But now that you're saying it, I might start thinking of a Manal Dash. He might kick me off of Typepad. I don't know. Anyway, I got to ask you something else. Do you want to say something before I keep talking?
No, I'm dying for questions.
I got to tell you, I'm sick of social media already, and I'm going to tell you why. I got published today by a guy named J. William Tincup. I don't know if that's his real name. I might change my name if that was my name, except it's also a unique branding opportunity. Everything that stands out is a unique branding opportunity. And this guy is going around asking people what their favorite human capital blog is. And I said to myself, when you hear a term like that, you know the whole thing is going right down the drain. Would you agree with me?
It's unfortunate phrasing, but I saw that. You know, I saw it on my RSS feeder and added him to LinkedIn and followed him on Twitter and had a conversation with him based on that. So I guess whatever his human capital experience is, it's working.
Yeah, is it working? I mean, is he significant? I never heard. Well, actually, I have heard of him. Anyway, let's go on. You know, after all the complaints I got, I want to keep it moving fast this week.
Sure.
I have a
sure.
few other names I want to talk to you about, but I'm going to put those aside. Jimmy, how's your lovely wife? I met her, everybody.
She's doing fantastic.
She's a lovely woman. And you've got a little daughter now, Jim, right?
Yeah, we have a 10-month-old who is giggling and laughing and crawling.
Okay.
It's fantastic.
You know, Amitai Givert has a daughter, and she can build a website on her own. What about your little girl?
She's on the Mac already, which is not necessarily a good thing, and she also loves the iPhone.
And what can she do? Can she build a blog, you know, one of the Typepad things that are easy, or a Blogspot?
She can bang on the keyboard, and she can stick it in her mouth. And she can accidentally send emails.
Okay, enough. I'm not interested, really. I just wanted to be nice. Listen, we got a bunch of people here, and last time Carl said, let's do roll call, so I can't do them all at once, but let's do a few. Okay, Jimmy?
Sure.
Okay.
Absolutely.
First person, top of the list, to compliment to you, my pal, Jerry! Jerry Albright, verbalsummary.com. How are you?
Good. Hi, everybody.
Want to say hi to Jimmy Durbin?
Hi, Jimmy.
Hi, Jerry.
Do you know him?
Not really.
Okay, so area code 703, who are you? No, doesn't want to say. Area code 513, that's Maureen Sharid, the queen bee of telephone sourcing.
That's me.
Want to say hi to Jim?
Hey, Jim, how are you?
What is that, Portland? Are you in Portland?
Cincinnati.
Please, Jim, please, after all this time, she's always telling everybody everything. She's from Cincinnati. Area code, well, oh, we got to move on. 111, otherwise I'll get complaints. 111, want to say hi?
It's probably me, Animal.
Who are you?
Chris Russell.
I thought so with that voice. He's got a signature voice. It's not loud, but it's a radio voice all the same because he's got so much happening on the radio. Say hi to Jim, and we're going to stop.
Oh, my God, you're going to stop? Oh, that's no fair.
Okay, yeah. Carl, we can't forget you. Come on. Carl Chapman, the recruiting Rottweiler, executive restaurant recruiter, CECsearch.com. Does anybody else want to say their name urgently before we get back to Jim?
I do.
Who are you? Cliff Mintz.
How do you know? How could you tell?
Mr. PhD.
Yeah,
hey, you make my show seem smart. Okay, but now I got Jimmy on. Now, not by the stuff you say.
Animal, that takes our collective effort.
Yeah, okay, just by his education. I can just say, hey, I got PhDs calling into my show to listen to me and my guest, Jimmy. Now, Jimmy Durbin, are you with me still?
Yeah.
You know what? I can hear you. Can everybody hear Jim? Yes or no?
Yes.
Okay, see, I don't complain for no reason. I can hear him. I'm not complaining. Jim, I have some personal questions. I'm going to put them aside because I know that people don't just come to talk shows, invite themselves to talk shows to say, you know, shoot the breeze. They're always pushing something. It might be their new movie. It might be their TV series. It might be their diet book. But there's something in the background. Jimmy, what are you plugging here today?
I got a new store.
Tell us all about it.
So,
or do you want me? Why don't I just read everyone the note you sent me? Should I do that?
Why don't you let me do it since I'm this great
Go ahead. Talk louder now. I'm losing you.
So I have a store. It's a social media headhunter store. And what happened is I started that brand earlier in the year. And while we have, I mean, when you look at things like recruiting blogs and the Animal Show and all the work that most of you are doing, because I know most of you are on the line, I read your stuff, we have fantastic information, but recruiters aren't getting it. And I think that it's just because it's intimidating. Some crazy number of recruiters don't know about LinkedIn, have never used Facebook to recruit, certainly aren't on Twitter. So what they needed was something that was, kind of basic, beginning level, was non-threatening. So I came up with a DVD series on all the tools of social media, and I walked people through how to use the tools to actually make money. So not, I'm going to join Twitter and get 500 followers, but if I'm on Twitter, how do I make $100,000 more next year? And so, I spent the last 4 months working on it. It's beautiful. The audio is great. The video is great. Works on all machines. And we launched the store. So,
okay, hold on a sec. I just have to interrupt you. I got to tell you, my father tried to sabotage his show, okay, today. Yesterday, I got a call. He was at the doctor. He said, come and get me. Take me to the hospital. Doctor wants me to get to the hospital. So instead of writing the show, I was at the hospital for 100 hours. Don't believe anything Michael Moore tells you about medicine in Canada, okay? That's number one. This morning, he calls me from the hospital. Find out the name of my doctor. I don't know, or blah, blah, blah. So I didn't get to plan everything, Jimmy. That's my prelude. But I saw on Twitter a link to an article that said Dell made $1 million off Twitter this year. I didn't get to read it. Did you hear about that?
Yeah. The guy, so you remember that Dell had all those problems with social media when Jeff Jarvis on the buzz.
I remember Jeff Jarvis, but Phil Art, you know, not everybody's like you and me. They're not thought leaders and visionaries or whatever you want to call us. Explain that.
I am.
So, Jeff Jarvis, who was a writer for TV Guide, he has a blog called Buzz Machine. He was one of the original political A-listers in the blogosphere. And he started complaining about his computer with Dell support. And they didn't answer. So he started basically recording and writing online his problems with Dell and how much he hated it. And what ended up happening was this kind of, as blogs were finally starting to hit companies, you know, they first hit the newspaper and the media and politicians, but as they began to hit companies, this kind of became the story, the touchstone of how bloggers are going to start to impact commercially. So Dell started making changes, and they started adding a social media component. They started monitoring the blogs. And so they've kind of gone to the forefront now.
Did they call that the storm or something like that?
I don't remember the name of it.
Okay.
But
Jim, pep it up. Usually a little livelier. Come on. Put some oomph in it. I got a big audience here. There's tons of people waiting to talk to you, okay? Just show them you're interested.
They started using Twitter because obviously now they're in the forefront. So they try everything new. And they have a guy who runs their social media down in Austin, and he basically figured out, he started using coupons. And so when we think of Twitter, we don't think of selling, and we hate it when people pitch products on it. But they were surprised. They started putting coupon codes for Dell machines, and they connect with a whole slew of people who, you know, might have known about Dell but didn't think about it. And they actually have sold $1 million worth of computers through coupons on Twitter. So they're completely blows away what we thought about microblogging, that it was just for listening or for, you know, communication back and forth. It's clearly a sales channel. But at the same time, they had, you know, thousands of users. It was a good time to buy computers, and we'll see. I mean, I don't know if people were going to buy the computers anyway.
But so that hasn't revolutionized your view of social media or microblogging. Is that what you're saying?
Well, no, I don't think so. I mean, I think it's kind of a fluke because it's great that they're doing it, and it's great they're going to promote it. But how many of those people were going to buy computers anyway?
Okay, but I got to tell you, I was just stunned. When I saw it, I was stunned, and I want to see what my audience thinks. Does anybody have something to say to Jimmy this early in the game?
Recognize
I have a question, Animal.
Okay, speak up. Who is this?
It's Chris.
Chris
Russell. Hey, Jim, how can Chris Russell, how can third-party recruiters utilize Twitter in terms of what they do? Give them some tips on that.
Hold on a second, Chris. Are you talking about marketing themselves or about recruiting? Those two different issues.
How should they use it overall to make money?
Okay, let me bring in another question there, okay? One second. I've also got a question from Greg DeGurian. Do you know him, Jim? Remember him?
Yeah.
Staffing technology blog? Anyway, so I'll put this in, throw it in with Chris's question. You can answer them separately, but if you think they've got some similarities, you can mix them together. He was chatting with me about how do you conduct a social media marketing campaign. So that's why I asked Chris if he's talking about marketing something, just like Dell did, or if he's talking about recruiting, which is different. So you see how you think you should
answer
that.
So let me hit
all
three of these at the same time, but separately. So the Dell thing, the thing to remember, is yes, they tracked $1 million of revenue off the coupons on Twitter, but it's also just as likely that people already buying computers found out about the coupons through their social networks, came to it, and got free money off. So it's revolutionary that they sold $1 million in revenue.
But they were stealing from themselves.
But we don't know. What we do know is that social media and the public has far, far exploded past what businesses have started doing. So social shopping is huge. And so it's very cool that they use Twitter to do so. It's possible, and it's probable that a good portion of
that. Okay, so stop that. I keep going. Now go on.
But
next.
You got to remember, it's the public doing this, whether or not companies or individual recruiters are getting involved. So social media is growing and evolving, whether or not we're involved in it. And that's why it's so important for recruiters to be in social media, not calling because it's new, but because the public's using it for their own end. They're using it to get information. And so the question how to use Twitter for recruiters that Chris asked, the biggest thing, one, is to connect to people in your community that, you know, you're locally, you know the geographic area, the niche that you recruit in. If those people are on Twitter, you have access to their conversations. So you know more as a recruiter by listening to them. Second is you also have connection to their followers. You can go through the list of people that you followed and check their followers. You can basically build up a database that's of people who are constantly talking about your industry and your niche. It just makes you smarter. I don't think there's been a lot of – I do get candidates because I obviously, since I'm a social media headhunter, I get a lot of social media people. It's actually a huge database for me. Most people aren't on Twitter. It's still less than, I would think, 1%.
Thank God you're
population.
Honest about that. Let me just congratulate you. Yes, most people, most candidates are not on Twitter, okay? Anybody disagree with that? No.
But what's important is that the ones who are super networked are – and so you know how if you find one Hyperion S-based guy, you find all of them? You find one Sarbanes-Oxley accountant, you can find a whole group of them
to
work with others?
No. Well, okay,
yes.
then you have to switch to telephone sourcing. Is that what you're saying? You find a name on Twitter.
Telephone sourcing is important. You can't fully rely on social media. Social media is for analysis and intelligence, and it's good for some communication. But if you're not on the phone and you're not doing the second half of recruiting after you've picked the name and the title, You're not going to get anywhere. I think that's where so many people have hang-ups. It doesn't replace what you do as a recruiter, but it does make your sourcing more powerful. And where this becomes an issue with Twitter is people send out their jobs, and they might occasionally get lucky, But what are you doing posting jobs? Unless you have a really tight network that you manage, you know, you take the 50 greatest people in your area and those are the only ones you listen to, broadcasting a job is going to get you a lot of people who are asking questions and it actually will overwhelm you with the amount of information. So I would actually suggest is use Monitor, which is MONITTER.com.
Yes.
And the search field for Twitter. Find people in the area that you recruit, and if you do it nationwide, look for it in the industry. Find 50 or 100 people that are on Twitter that are tangentially related to your industry that know candidates and just carry on conversations with them. It's the same thing you do going to a user group or heading out to a tech conference or, you know, picking up the phone and calling people that you've worked with before. It's just networking. The problem is we try to use these tools to force conversations. Instead, they should be conversation starters, but it certainly never replaces getting on the phone.
Okay, let me ask you a question. I don't know anything about Monitor. Can you just elaborate on that before you continue?
It's a three-field search tool for Twitter. It's MONITTER. You go on, you type a couple of terms, and it'll scroll the last couple people who have talked. So I discovered it last night. Let's say you get an there, and actually there's probably a dozen search tools. Those are the two I use. This you know, what used to be the search tool for Summarize, but now it's search.twitter.com. Go through. Let's say you get a job for an RF engineer, and you know a little bit about it, but you don't do a lot of it. You go search terms relating to the RF engineers. You can kind of eavesdrop on the conversations, which makes you smarter about the job that you're hunting for. You can also connect with people. You know, it's one of those things that if you email me or you call me, I'll probably pick up the phone. But if you Twitter me, you know, DM me on Twitter, or you send a note to me on Facebook, or you connect me through LinkedIn, I almost have to answer you. And I think that's where a lot of people are. These are actually replacing, to some extent, some of the other communication channels. So I wouldn't want to try to conduct an interview over Twitter or LinkedIn or Facebook. But I'd make that connection and say, give me a phone call, and then I'd start talking to them. In fact, that's how I've been pulling candidates. I got a guy from Chicago talking about that just the other day. Found him on Twitter, but that wasn't the conversation. You know, the conversation is when we called after he sent me his phone number.
Okay, I would love to interview somebody on Twitter. Hey, it freaks me out. It just sounds so like a turn-on, right?
I'm trying to find the search box here on Monitor, and I don't see it.
Well, we can talk
about three of those. You just type any of the three of them. It says Monitor, the three. You
type where the word Monitor is?
Yeah, you replace the words there, and it'll give you new words.
Cool. Yeah, I'm going to make some money right now.
So
Monitor's trying to be
used. Wait a second. Wait. I am in charge. Do not forget it, okay? Chris Russell.
Yes.
Did he answer your question, or is there something else you'd like to ask related to that?
He answered
Chris
it.
Russell. Chris, can you say your website? Well, you've got so many, I don't know which one to tell.
We'll plug jobradio.fm today.
Yeah, you had some hippie on the other day who hated the financial sector. I would like to get him on this show. We'd make mincemeat out of that guy. Okay.
Yeah, call Peter Clayton. He interviewed him.
He had a funny name, too. His name was Stever.
Stever, yeah. I never heard of that one.
What kind of name is that? Anyway, sorry. Do you have anything else you wanted to say to Jim? Sorry, I wasn't listening to whatever you said.
No, Jim, you should mention jobs on social media, probably.
Yeah, actually, I just I picked up jobs in social media from Chris. You know, he's built these great networks, and the jobs in social media, it's a neat network. I'm utilizing it to try to pitch the idea of what positions will be there for social media.
So
right
jobs
now,
in social
is,
media, that's the name. Ning.com or jobsinsocialmedia.com.
Jobsinsocialmedia.com.
Okay.
Yeah, Jim, along those lines, are what kind of I'm curious, what kind of people you're placing in corporations these days in terms of social media jobs?
Really, marketing, sales, interactive SEO type stuff. Because here's the question: the people who are looking for social media strategists? One, there are not many of them, and they don't really know how to measure the metrics. I imagine with the economy, a lot of those people won't have jobs. Certainly, they're not going to hire for them. The bigger question is, long-term, does social media become its own department, like marketing, like SEO, you know, like IT?
Yeah, I think it does.
Or does it become a tool set? Because right now, if you're in SEO and you're not using social media to enhance it, you're falling behind. And if you're in marketing, if you don't realize how to utilize it, or if you're even in investor relations or PR, social media tools can be very important.
Okay, this isn't about recruiting. Okay, that's not about recruiting.
It is, because the question
is
whether
or
not
these
tools become. Because you don't pay someone $100,000 to be a social media guy unless you're, you know, in some .com-y type of world or you're, you know, a big, so you have so much money as a corporation, you just try to add new things. Most of the time, you're hiring someone with a marketing background or a PR background or technology background who gets social media, and their job is to, you know, just do basic business practices. So the question is, do we need to start adding social media to all these positions, or we create a new position that we search for?
Okay, wait one second. Before I go on, just want to say hi to Harry Joyner. He's here. Harry Joyner,
hey.
Say hi to Jim Durbin.
Hi, friends.
Okay, you'll ask your question later. I want to just introduce two more people. Anybody else want to say hi before we continue? Who hasn't
I
been
got a bone
yet?
To pick. You
who?
Know, I said I got a bone to pick with you, Recruiting Animal. AnimalShow.com.
RecruitingShow.com.
Yeah, no, I understand. AnimalShow.com is not a kid-friendly site. I went there. You know, I was like, okay, you know, I talked to you about an hour ago, and he said, go to AnimalShow.com, or so I thought. And I went to AnimalShow.com, and, you know, that's...
Harry, sometimes I think you hear what you want to hear.
Hey,
yeah, what? Man, I'd never been there, so I wasn't biased. I thought Animal Show. Okay, what's the big deal? Well, there is a big deal, and it's animal-related.
Oh, you know, I get all kinds of search. I won't even say on this show the search terms that come to my blog. Listen, Cliff Mintz, biojobblog.com.
Yes.
He's dying to say something. Cliff, you tell us a little bit about your new social media network, but that's not why we're here. And you ask your question. I see you're bursting. You ask the question first.
No, I don't want to plug anything. I just want to say that I feel like you're really biased to, like, recruiters, and I'm just sitting here and, you know, I can't say anything.
Biased to
I was a recruiter once.
This is the recruiting show.
This is a recruiting show.
Yeah, but you recognize all the, you know, it's like an old friends network or something.
Yeah, that's right, Cliff.
Can a new guy get in, you know, to the club?
Okay, ask your question. Speak up or I'm going to cut you off. Come on. Spit it out.
No,
you just wanted to whine a bit. Okay, the guy from New Jersey, you're done. Okay, listen.
I have to answer Greg's question.
Okay, well, no, I want to ask another question related to what you were saying. You talked to a guy who became like the social media manager for Ford, a great company to get hired with right now, it looks like to me. And anyway, but the funny thing you said that's Ford Auto, right?
Well, yeah, the thing to remember is Ford actually doesn't need the bailout money. They're supporting the plan so the Chrysler and GM don't go down and take down all their suppliers. Ford's actually doing really well right now.
Okay, I didn't know that.
Ford's asking for guaranteed loans. They're not in as
really
bad as the others.
So they're not in the position of Chrysler and GM. They're
okay, but here, we're going off on a tangent. Please don't make me cut people. I'm getting tougher. I will do it if I have to, okay? I have a question. You talked about this guy who just got hired as the social media manager at Ford. The funny thing was the VP of communications called him up, offered him the job directly. He said no. Then a recruiter called him, and he said yes. Do I have that right? And if so, what happened there? That baffles me.
Well, I mean, here's a guy who'd owned his own agency, had been building his brand, so he was a bona fide marketing expert. You know, Harry could have placed him pretty much anywhere. And he started pushing social media, figured it out, applied it to what he was doing. So when somebody comes along, VP of communications or not, and offers a job, why would you give that up? You know. So what happened is it's the recruiter, I guess, did a better job selling over time, and Ford began to change what they were looking for, and so they offered him a package that was attractive in terms of what he would actually be doing. And that's why he decided to make the decision.
So what was the factor? Was it the recruiter? That's what I'm interested in, or was it the fact that Ford changed the job to suit him?
I think it was that Ford changed the job to suit him, but the recruiter probably did a better job of selling him on it. You know,
okay, because that blew me away. Don't you find that surprising that a recruiter could recruit somebody for the same job that the senior exec called him for?
I'm not sure if that – I'd have to go back and read that. I'm not
His name is Scott Monty. His name is Scott Monty. And you said on your blog that he turned down the VP of communications, then accepted the offer from a recruiting firm. Let's put it to the side for now. Let's go to Greg's question. What would a social media marketing campaign look like?
Well, you got to have some place online that's your headquarters. It needs to be your blog or your website. It's got to be optimized for search. You've got to have something to drive people back to your site. So a couple things you do. One is you make sure that your name so basically you need a profile. You need a landing page of some kind. If you're an independent recruiter, just start a blog. Use the pages for it. If you're working for a branch, you can just build a page online that basically has contact info, says what you do. The goal of this is to make sure that when someone finds you online or when they read something that you do on one of your social media sites, they come to the landing page, they know exactly who you are, what you do, and what it takes to work with you. So it starts to work as a filter to screen out people who aren't paying attention or maybe aren't a great fit. So then you go into your LinkedIn and you fill out your profile and you start answering questions. You go to the social networks and make sure your name is entered.
Answering questions, the LinkedIn questions, LinkedIn discussion questions. Is that what you mean?
Right, and the reason you do this, and you focus not on being a recruiter or candidates. You talk about the industries you're recruiting in. And the reason this makes a difference is because all these sites spend a lot of money to optimize themselves for search. So by answering questions about the industry, you are showing up in search terms for candidates. So if someone's searching for, like, an RF engineer job, or they're searching for Toronto business analyst or something like that, if you're answering questions on these sites and you're also putting information onto your own site, you're driving candidates who are using search terms directly back to your site. You're also driving candidates who are reading those questions online over to your site. And that site, you have calls to action that say, okay, send your resume into the database. These are the positions that I'm working on. You know, follow me on Twitter for stuff in the future. So the goal it's still marketing. You're pushing your name out. But the social media marketing plan is to join sites where your candidates spend time. So if no one in your industry, so if you work in construction and there's, you actually place like plant managers and stuff like that, those guys don't tend to be online. So you're wasting your time on Twitter for sure. But if you need to find where your people are spending their time. And once you identify those clusters online, that's where you go and you leave your questions, your answers, you talk about the industry. And what happens is you're practicing pull marketing, basically. You're talking about the industry so they go, you know what, this isn't some just guy sending my resume around. It's a professional. They know a lot in the industry. I should be connected to them. It's okay. I'll pick up the phone if they know my name. Because that's one of the things we don't get as recruiters. You call someone. You send an email. They read your name somewhere. They're typing your name into Google or Yahoo or MSN and looking to see what they find about you. So the point of the social media marketing strategy is to make sure when they search your name, they're not bringing up a job order you posted 6 years ago. They're bringing up information that's current that tells what you're doing.
So let me summarize that. So you have your landing page, whether it's your website or whatever, and then
Right. Then
you find discussion groups online where you can talk, should demonstrate your specialized professional knowledge. And then
Yes. You
hope that, or you pick sites that you think are going to be Google friendly. So Google picks it up. When people go in and use the keywords for that, your field, your name is going to come up high on Google because you commented on a million blogs or LinkedIn or maybe some forums or something. So that's a very simple strategy, essentially. Landing page Yes. And then discussion in Google friendly sites.
And
is that
consistent
it?
Consistent branding. Consistent branding. You need the name that you give to be the same that's on your business card, the same that's posted all over the web. When you have several different monikers or several different names, or people don't know, and they're very quick. So you have to have consistent branding. So when someone is looking for me, like I changed my name and everything to Jim Durbin and SM Headhunter, so everybody knows, same guy writing all this. I had a lot of people who thought I was four or five different personalities, which could be true, but it's not particularly helpful when I'm trying to drive people to an individual site. You've got to be consistent, and you got to make sure that you're spending time in places where the candidates you want to hire are going. You know, if you look for top executives, they're not on Twitter. This is something to be thinking about, you know.
Where are they?
They're in a lot of different places. They're in places like NetShare and the Ladders. They're in individual groups. There are social network groups that they have joined, and a lot of them are also I don't know the name for them, but they're like executive networks where they share information. I just ran
into one. Okay, now listen,
if
people are interested in this kind of information, can they buy that at the social media cafe that you're here to sell? Is this what you're teaching there?
The strategy behind it is in all the CDs. The actual CDs themselves, it's doubtful many of the people actually on the line would learn that much from an individual tool because it's built like if you don't know much about Twitter or LinkedIn,
mm-hmm.
then I mean, it really is more for the basic aspect. There'll be some good. I've been doing a lot of the training for people in St. Louis. I just did one in Springfield. I'm doing it with some of the local recruiting chapters. And they pick up tips, and they like it. And these are guys that are utilizing some of these tools. They don't talk about it, which is really funny. They're not like us. They don't pitch all the information to the world. But they're using some great strategies to bring in hundreds of thousands of dollars. And they learn stuff from these, especially the LinkedIn piece. But at the same time, I mean, a lot of them just don't have the time to do so. So this is really aimed more at someone who's, you know, if you're an independent recruiter, if you're internal, and you just want to say, you know what, how do I use Twitter? How do I use Facebook to recruit? You know, a lot of us don't know how, and we're struggling, and we're reading things that tell us how, but there's no step-by-step way. And so the goal is to kind of lay that base for you. So
okay, so it's just
if
like
you're using a tool and you're not making a lot of money using it, you're either wasting your time or you're not using it correctly. I believe the only reason we should be on social media, I mean, unless you want to be a publisher, the only job that you have in using these tools is to find candidates and place them, either for money or for your corporation. And so all of the training is based on focusing just on how do I hire these candidates, not how do I get a bunch of followers. You know, I don't think you need lots of followers. I think
that's
you need targeted
point.
Followers.
I like that.
Is that Gary Albright?
Adam, can I ask a question?
No, it's Cliff.
Yeah, okay. Go ahead, Cliff. But I'm going to keep you under a tight rein. Go ahead.
Okay, this is a serious question. So I've asked this question before to several different people LinkedIn.
Cliff Mintz, everybody. Go ahead.
About LinkedIn, and I still don't get LinkedIn and why it's become the default or de facto place for business.
Okay, hold on a second, Jim. Before you answer that question, which is, seems like an obvious answer to me, but is that if you answer that question here, is that going to lose you money on the social media cafe because people won't have to buy your CD?
No. It's 96 minutes of walking through how to set up your account.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So you got to give a little to get a little. So no, it won't.
Go ahead.
So the answer to the short answer using LinkedIn is that it's considered a business network, not a social network. And the biggest reason is if you have those candidates, if you look at the demographics of LinkedIn, the average age is 41. The average household income is $109,000. These are primarily people who are in that middle to late stage of their careers. People like my father who have jumped on and used LinkedIn every day now because he's looking for a job. It's one of those situations where they have been siloed for so long. Because so many people, you know, they spend their time doing their jobs rather than interviewing or are searching for jobs. They don't know how to do it. So they go on LinkedIn because they've been burned, they've been laid off in the past, and they're trying not to be siloed. So they're sharing information. They're not really on there for recruiters. In the back of their head, there's the, I might be open to it, passive candidate. So what happens is you get in there and you find people, and it's your chance to figure out, you know, you can just pull the names from a database. I think a lot of recruiters are using it as a source, which is fine.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's 32 million people on there.
But it's also ticking a lot of candidates off because they're, you know, it's like a dinner party. I always see that definition. It's like a dinner party, and you go in, and you're not the host, and you walk in, and you immediately start asking people, hey, you want a job? Hey, you know someone who can fill my job? No one's going to talk to you if you go to a party and are like that. But if you get introduced to everybody, hey, how, you know, do you have any kids? Where do you work? What do you do for fun? Anyone says, you know what, I'm looking for a job. You go, you know who's great is this animal over here.
Hey, hold on a second. Let me just take a quick vote. I disagree with Jim 100%. Does anybody else disagree? Just say yes or no.
What are we disagreeing with, though?
Okay, I say that LinkedIn is a database. It's just like a database on a job board, a resume database, and all you do there is go in there and look for people you can recruit. You don't try to find them through a trusted link. You just call them up at the company if you can find contact information. Who agrees with me? All the yeses raise their hands.
I agree. My hand's up.
Okay.
I do.
My hand's up.
Does anybody say no?
Yes.
That's William Yu?
You bet.
Okay, you come in and you argue Jim's case
way
for him
because
he didn't convince me.
Well,
way
actually,
to go,
Timo. I was just waiting to be here and listen to some rap, so Jim's kind of disappointed me so far.
He said he was going to be rhyming, and we've missed that, haven't we, William?
Evidently. I'm sorry. I'll have to catch it on YouTube. No, there's not a video. We got to change
that. Hey, enough with the chit-chat. Get to the point.
All right, so, I mean, the way I think most people look at LinkedIn is that it's simply a business tool. How recruiters look at it could be totally different. So, you know, Emily, if you're saying that, you know, LinkedIn's simply a big database, I bet there are some recruiters that look at that. and it shows how they approach people. And in fact, I had done a little post earlier about why prospects are laughing at recruiters is because they basically, in all intents and purposes, spam them because they treat them as a database, kind of like the old direct marketing. And there's no relationship being honored or built there. And people pick up on that. That's kind of the interesting thing with social media and networking. And if you just come at it with a one-way message and people pick up on it, they're not going to help you. They're not going to respond.
And what are you supposed to make pals on LinkedIn? Is that what you're doing?
No, it's not about making pals. And this is what you're not asking for introductions and trying to use LinkedIn to make friends. And the mistake is it's short term. Yes, recruiters can make a lot of money sourcing, but for the first time, you're building a long time profile on the web. And trust me, one of these days, LinkedIn's going to do things that start seriously putting a crimp in our ability to just source people. And if you haven't built up a decent database and several different networks, because you can get kicked off of LinkedIn pretty easily. You can kick off all these networks, or they can go down.
Yeah, Harry will tell you how easy it is to get kicked off Facebook.
Yeah,
go ahead.
I will. I mean, that was well documented, but
go ahead.
So
let him finish.
Of work
it is pretty damn easy, and I'll tell you, once you're off, and once you're out of these communities, you really miss them. I mean, don't forget, when we say LinkedIn is a passive candidate database, that doesn't mean that the communication just goes from recruiters to candidates. It also goes from candidates to hiring managers, candidates to other candidates. I mean, it's like the phone book, except the difference between the phone book is that you can, you know, use your entry and as a medium to enter to email other people in the phone book. But basically, even if they rolled out like blogging functionality or calendaring functionality, I mean, all that stuff they are experimenting with, and I've blogged about it. LinkedIn is disruptive, and it's going to continue to be very, very disruptive, and it's going to redefine a lot of what executive recruiting is all about. I mean, I've seen that for 3 or 4 years.
Hey, I got an important question. Hey, are you talking to us through your vacuum cleaner?
That's for the fan that went out in my computer. Can you tell I got to get a new computer?
Okay. I don't know anything. I don't really understand what you said, except that LinkedIn's got a lot of stuff in the works. I'm tired of LinkedIn. Does anybody really have to talk about it anymore?
I wanted to just do a follow-up question.
Hold on. That's Carl. Cliff. Let Carl. Cliff, you had your turn. Carl, come on forward. Was that you?
It could have been me, Jerry.
No, it was somebody else. Does somebody else want to say something about LinkedIn?
Just, I want to get back to this. What don't you understand about what I said?
Okay, you just wait a second. Jerry, your turn. Come on. We're losing time here. Jim's
okay,
a very popular guy.
Question. My LinkedIn database is, you know, 600 or 700 recruiters. Now, how does this help me? Where should I go
from
here?
Because they link you to other people, Jerry. It's pretty obvious.
But
they're linked to other people.
Yeah, I mean, basically what you do with LinkedIn, it does a number of things, right? As a recruiter, you can find potential clients. You can find other service providers, people to do
splits
with.
Not in my list, then, obviously.
Well, no, but if you're linked to 600 other recruiters, then you have a network that's probably, what, 3 or 4 million
people?
Yeah, so you can be found for business opportunities. You can search for jobs. You can discover inside connections. See, I mean, you can post and distribute job listings. There's a bunch of different things that you can do with LinkedIn. That just makes it a database on steroids.
Now, Jerry, you can actually use my CD then, because I talk how to get that use. Because you have to decide whether you want a large network or a very tight and focused one. The large network gives you lots of information. But as you said, you can't exactly go to other recruiters and expect them to give you the best candidates. They'll pass you on to people they don't know, but that's not necessarily what you're looking for.
Okay, that's the end of my question. Sorry, Animal. No, but thanks.
Okay.
I
have to say something when we're finished with LinkedIn. I got to tell you, if we're talking on the Recruiting Animal Show this long about LinkedIn, then maybe Jim's putting something out there that's worthwhile. I mean, I have to tell you, Jim, I didn't expect to be talking about LinkedIn for 15 minutes here. So
Can I break in?
Okay. Maureen,
okay, I'm running the chat under this, and they want to know more about the changes that are going on LinkedIn. If anyone
you're running
knows.
A chat. Where? At recruitinganimalchannel.com.
Recruitinganimal.nang.com. We're running the chat. We've got 6 people in attendance. JD's here.
Okay. You can also get there by recruitinganimalchannel.com. But go ahead. What's the question?
Or animalshow.com.
Yeah.
Well, actually, okay. Recruitinganimal.ning.com. We're running a chat underneath this this chat platform.
What's the question?
The radio show.
What's
the question?
About
the news.
They
want to
know what changes are happening on LinkedIn and what do these changes mean.
Well, LinkedIn is becoming a lot closer to Facebook. What happens is all these networks are adding information to each other, and it becomes confusing, and eventually it's going to be a bad thing for them because the reason LinkedIn works is because it's simple. It's why recruiting.com is so good. It's why recruiting blog works, is people use it for their own purposes. But there are some neat things in there, like the events section that allows you to pass on if you're going to be at events. It's your roadmap of telling people where you are. You can add your Twitter and your blog feeds now directly into your profile, and those are pushed to other people's updates, which is kind of like a way of using a newsletter, which is why it's so important to build the right community on not just LinkedIn, but LinkedIn and Facebook and Plaxo. You can actually transfer all the same information. So the question is, recruiters, you've got to be on the phone making placements. How you possibly have time for all this? Well, they all connect to each other. And using RSS feeds, you can actually build content in one place, send it to 7 or 8 different sites so it looks like you're busy on all of them, and then you can figure out which one works best for making placements. And that also way you're protected if you get kicked off. You have 6 or 7 other sites that has the full database. Events is very cool. The applications they have work well, like if you do slideshare presentations. So, I mean, what happens is you got to figure out how to be comprehensive in your search. This is actually on my SEO disk. You got to have pictures of yourself that are tagged correctly. So if someone's searching in images and they find your name, like if you search Marketing Headhunter St. Louis, you get me and you get Harry, which is funny because Harry's in Atlanta. But where are the rest of the recruiters that are out there? On YouTube, you drop a video, SlideShare. There's all these sites that you have content you've already made or you can aggregate and use to push your profile. And this is where LinkedIn makes a difference because if you've built your community and they want to know this information, you know, if you are putting information that's valuable to them in the industry, they're going to want to know who you are. When I was writing my recruiting blog on STL Recruiting, and I was just an account manager for a national staffing firm, managers would pick up the phone when I called to argue with me about what I wrote or to thank me or congratulate me or ask more questions because they saw me not as some guy calling and asking about jobs, but as someone who was truly interested and interesting. And that made a huge difference. When I started blogging, I broke past that six-figure barrier in that first year. I mean, it really made a difference. It also drove candidates my way, too, because I wasn't just some guy. When someone searches a name and they see your website and they see your blog, they click on your blog. This is true. I have a plastic surgery client that they don't click on the doctor's websites. They go to the doctor's blogs that we built for them. This is true for recruiters. It's true for salespeople. So it's a matter of you build your profile. You funnel people the right way. And you don't necessarily connect just to other recruiters. You connect to people in that industry. And the question is, okay, how do I use these tools? And not how do I add 2 hours to my day, but how do I take 30 minutes to an hour out of my day, pick a platform, use it, and so it saves me time somewhere else.
Can I just add something here? I think one way of putting it that Jim's describing here is that I think most, I'm going to say, traditional recruiters look at what can they get done from a transactional standpoint, and they just define their value in getting a placement and selling something. They don't typically communicate in any other value to a prospective referral, prospective client, prospective candidate. And that, in social media age, stops other people cold in their tracks because they're saying, why should I listen to this recruiter if they're not just hawking a job for me? Or to me, excuse me. If that's it, then heck, I can go to a job board, or I can go to, you know, LinkedIn and get connected with a hiring manager if I'm really looking that way. And I think it's really forced recruiters to realize this, to think about what am I adding of value, and the blogs can certainly demonstrate value that people can add to the conversation. And I think when you do that, people will start responding out of interest as opposed to looking for a quick transaction to get done.
Okay, so let me just break in here. So Harry Joyner, the Marketing Headhunter, or marketingheadhunter.com, he's on right now. He wrote on his blog, if I'm not mistaken, and he said on this show that the way his blog serves him is not doesn't have to blog every day, but he blogs enough so that when people look for Marketing Headhunter or Marketing Recruiter on Google, they go to his blog, they see his archive of knowledgeable articles, and then they trust him and call him. Am I right, Harry?
Yeah, it's an important clarification here. It's a two-step lead generation process, right? To Jim's point, you credibilize yourself within a certain niche. That's exactly what Jim is talking about. So you become a participating, credible, knowledgeable member of a certain community. And then people tell each other on the phone or in email about you. And then people say, okay, Harry Joyner, I've heard good things about him. I'll Google him. And then if you dominate the Google results, not just for Harry Joyner, but, I mean, if you are seen in the metadata of the search page, et cetera, and like the Google result, you know, how it identifies the web page as a marketing recruiter or an e-commerce recruiter or whatever, it credibilizes you. To be number one in search engines for social media headhunter credibilizes Jim. And that is what gets people to dial the phone.
What could, say, an engineering recruiter or an IT recruiter, what could they possibly talk about that would credibilize them, though?
I posted a list of Java Swing interview questions back in 2005. And
that's
about 2,000, I think at least 2,000 people who have come to my site looking for those questions. If I was placing desktop software, people, I'd be in seventh heaven from both candidates and clients. I've had a lot of people email me and contact me and ask me about different jobs.
Yeah.
And that was 2 years ago. It was just a throwaway post at the time. If you wrote, now here's the thing. What happens is you look at the examples. Harry, marketing headhunter, Carl Chapman, the restaurant recruiter, Paul, and the MN headhunter. You figure out what your title is and you write about your industry or, copy stuff out of books. You get your candidates to write some questions and share how bright they are. You'd be surprised how often they don't mind a little profile bump themselves. If you get a great candidate that you don't place, have them write something up for you and put it on the blog.
Yeah, but I mean, in addition to that, it's like think of all the categories that you can have, on your weblog. If you just maintain a $10 a month TypePad blog like I do, and I think Jim probably uses TypePad as well. I mean, my categories are career training, database marketing, direct marketing, domaining, e-commerce consulting, Facebook, internet marketing, interview questions, job search tips. I mean, you can write posts about every single one of those things.
And
they're all relevant
all
to the IT space.
Can I copy all that?
Yeah, sure. I mean, everybody else does.
Man, I'm on it.
One thing. I think Jerry Albright, I have to tell you something. I had you in the back of my mind. Jerry is marketing a product. His site is verbalsummary.com, and I think he's been hanging around us for the last 6 months trying to figure out how to use social media to market his product to recruiters. I think this show is really directed at a guy like you. I might be wrong. Yes or no?
Sure, but I also need to recruit too, though. I mean, I do both.
Okay.
But the important thing to remember is that this is, if you like Jim was saying and Harry was saying, is that if you use it as a tool and you spend and allocate your time correctly, you will be able to upregulate your business, and it will be not time ill spent if you really, set aside time to do it.
Okay, Cliff, I want to say one thing good for you that's good for you to say. Okay, you've got a new social media community for the scientific community or something. I just want you to say what it is. I want to get Jim's feedback. Can you tell us about it?
Yes, I can. So what I've decided to do was to create a community for bioprofessionals that focuses on career development and
networking. What's a bioprofessional? A scientist?
Scientists and anybody related to the biotechnology and life sciences industry.
Okay.
And right. So that's what I did, because like there's Facebook and MySpace, and what Jim said I thought was really, really telling at the very beginning is that these are all very large communities, very generalized communities, and if you could replicate that kind of credibility and connectivity into a smaller niche market, that you've established yourself as a credible purveyor of information, you could build a very vibrant community around that idea, and that's what I've decided to do.
What's the name of your site?
It's www.biocrowd.com.
Biocrowd.com. Jim, any comment
right
on that? Because we're running out of time. I want to keep us going fast.
Yeah, it's a great idea. And the thing to remember is that if you hadn't created that community, somebody else would.
Aren't there five communities like that? Or how many communities exist like that already?
Well, let me just say this.
Populated.
I had this idea about a year ago, and since that time, there are no fewer than 15 communities that have been built around something related to science.
So how, Jim? Really, how is if you set up a community, how's it going to fare against all the other communities? I get a million invitations every day. But first of all, Jim, what's socialmediaheadhunter.com? You can find out about all this stuff at socialmediaheadhunter.com. Jim, how do you compete against the proliferation of endless social communities, media communities now?
Well, you just got to put your time into it. So here's the thing to remember. Someone said about, you know, recruiters are transactional. And I agree, to some extent we are, but the best recruiters have always been social networkers. We didn't have social media tools, but you build a network and you build a Rolodex over time. It's the same skills that we've always had that made you better. And, in fact, that's where most of your placements usually come from, is people you know and people you walk through. I mean, every recruiter I've talked to, that's been their primary. The really good ones who want to make consistent placements, not the ones who burn out after 3 years from just dialing, you know, mindlessly through a phone book, but over time they've been social networking. So this is nothing new to us. It's just the tools are new. So the idea that somehow we're transactional, I think, is that need we have for sales and to keep pushing ahead. But this, as I said, this isn't new. So something like these new communities, the problem is that what makes yours better? You know, what made Jason Davis, what made us grow with recruiting.com, and then what made Jason grow with recruiting blogs? What did he do that all these other recruiting communities didn't? Why is his so large? And part of it is he puts so much into the community and makes people share, and part of it is he's got the name too. So you've got to create your profile, utilize all the different sites, and you'll begin to build it. And also, it doesn't need to be huge. You don't need 50,000 people. It's probably too many. I mean, how many placements do you need a year to be incredibly happy?
40.
You focus on going through your own 40. You go through your own database, and you add people to it. You can close the network if you want. You can either manage it very tightly, or you can leave it open. It depends on you. But just because you have a network of 100 people in a social network doesn't mean that it's not the most valuable thing to
do. Okay, here's a question that relates to Harry Joyner again. What if you have, especially if you set up a Ning site, or I think Cliff is using some other platform that he made himself, something like that. And you're putting your own, you're putting the potential candidates out there for other recruiters to see and steal.
They're already out there. Data's free. And the idea that somehow the Rolodex we have are private anymore with Zoom info and Jigsaw.
I disagree. I disagree. Okay.
And there's more and more coming out there on a regular basis. So if you decide not to get involved in these and put your own candidates, I mean, how many placements do you actually make a year? How many do you make in 10 years? So don't put the, you know, don't put the very best people out there. Don't put your direct lines of candidates. But you talk,
why wouldn't you?
99% of the people you talk to are, you know, 95 at least, you're never placing. Get some value from those transactions. Have them help you, and you help
already
them.
Already done that.
And you'll make
Twitter is a good example. I would love to find another recruiter to follow who has a couple hundred, say, Oracle DBAs that I could then jump right on and follow all those people. That'd be fantastic. So I encourage all recruiters to put your
to let Jerry steal their guys. Yeah, that's essentially what he's saying, right?
Yeah, I want to. I'm trying to now as we speak.
Yeah, Jim, I got to ask you something about Twitter. I got, and I brag about it, I have over 1,000 followers. Who you know what? I started using Cligs. When I want to shorten my URLs, I use Cligs.com. It tracks how many people click on the links I put up there. So if I read something now, instead of just, you know, reading it myself, I'll put a link up on Twitter. 12 people, 5 of those are some kind of robots, you know, crawling it. You know, so I got 160 people. I mean, that was big news for me, 60 clicks. Most of them are in the 10 to 20 range. That means people, if they even see my stuff, really don't click on it. What's the value of that to me?
Well, maybe you got to be more interesting.
How many clicks should you get?
Well, it depends. 5, 10, 60, those are good numbers.
Yeah, I think they're good, really good.
Those are good numbers? 5?
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, because if it's the 5 of the right people, I mean, how many do you really need to – I mean, you're not a publisher. Your job is not to drive a million people to your site so you can make 3 cents a piece off of them. Your job is to find people who become, you know, who make the connection. That's the real value in all this. We're not all getting money off of Google ads and advertising. The goal is to find a couple people a year You know, I get two or three social media clients and a couple of candidates, and I'm living the high life. So if I got six people who know me and like me, that's all I want. And that's part of the reason we get focused on these numbers instead of focusing on,
right,
you know, like a laser on how do I really extract value. Well, you extract
okay,
value.
Hold on a second.
Did
we're running out of time.
There?
Wait a second. While I still have you here, Maureen, are you there? Maureen Sherub, are you there? Yes, she is. I don't know why she's not answering. Jim, are you still there?
Yeah.
Okay. Because I wanted to ask, there's a lot of sorcerers calling in, telephone sorcerers, and, you know, they're calling Dr. Maureen because we're going into her showtime already. Before I kick you off as a done deal, I want to know, do telephone sorcerers have anything to learn from you? Because, you know, lots of them I can see are interested in knowing how they can use the Internet to complement their telephone sourcing.
There's a lot of good stuff for sorcerers. The SEO piece, the LinkedIn piece, even Twitter really works for sorcerers. Facebook and MySpace are more about recruiting. But, yeah, the SEO and the Web 2.0 tools is not a bad one, too. There's a list of 20 free tools in social media they can use to connect with candidates. A lot of those are for sourcing. So,
yeah,
absolutely.
Maybe someone can explain to me. Maureen knows that her show starts at 1 o'clock. And she's not on the line. Is there something?
I'm here.
I just
I'm
heard
here.
Her pick up.
Okay, well, she just picked up. Maureen, your
oh,
people are here. Before I kick Jim off,
okay.
Maybe he's got, I'm asking him if he's got something to say to telephone sourcing people, how they can use the Internet and social media to complement their telephone sourcing activities. Do you have any questions, or do any people on the line right now who are calling in to listen to Maureen, telephone sourcers, have a question for Jim, the social media headhunter, before we're through with them? No. Are any of you there but who are too gutless to raise your voices? Okay,
hey, if you are what he just said, go to www.recruitinganimal.ning.com and put your questions in the chat box.
Yeah okay. Maureen, so I'm going to wrap. Should we move into your show
Minnesota
now?
Minnesota Headhunter says he is not gutless. He wants you to know.
He's not gutless.
But there's
Maureen,
a Minnesota Headhunter, too?
Minnesota Headhunter is on the chat.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah,
listening
would have been
in.
On there, but I had to sign
headhunter,
on
marketing
again.
Headhunter, Minnesota Headhunter.
Yeah, he's a nice guy. Okay, but Jim, Jim, we're losing that. Look, we got an audience. You got, you know, all the chit-chat's nice, but we got an audience here. Jim, we're going to wrap up your end of the show now, but, quite frankly, it's interesting. We'll go into Maureen's, and you saw how silent everybody is. So you want to do a – you can roll into your wrap-up. You don't have to, you know, do it in 2 seconds. What is it you'd like to leave people with?
Well, I'd just like to leave the idea that if you're not making money using social media tools, you need to learn how. And hopefully my training DVDs, and, you know, it's very easy. We did it that way because a lot of people just aren't that savvy. It's a lot easier to throw in a DVD than stream video. They're not expensive. Most of them are under $100. And the responses I've gotten from professional recruiters who use this have all been universal. I did training in Missouri and in St. Louis and Springfield. I'm going out to Kansas City soon. The goal is that when they see this stuff, a lot of them will send their sourcers. Like a lot of these professional recruiters send their sourcers. So they see value in it. No one's complained. I've got nothing but great responses and reviews, which I'm grateful for. So if you're looking to learn about any of these, head to store.socialmediaheadhunter.com.
You know what? I got to tell you, what kind of social media guy are you when you say go to store.socialmediaheadhunter.com? Social Media Headhunter is enough. Why don't you just tell them and have a big sign on there, store, on the sidebar?
I do.
Okay. That's enough. And I'm right. You're wrong. Now, listen, I got to tell you, you know, William Yu is here. He's got a very good HR friend, sort of a sassy girl on Twitter. That's what I would say is her brand. Her name is Jessica Lee. And when she goes out with a guy, she goes right away on Twitter and says pass, fail. Okay? So is this show been a pass or a fail for you, Jim Durbin?
Huge pass. Thank you very much.
Hey! I am happy now. I had a social media date with Jim, and I'm a pass. Now, is there anything I didn't ask you that you think you should have been asked?
No, not at all.
Oh, geez. Well, you know what?
Next time I'm coming up to Toronto. Actually, I may have a job order in Toronto, so I may be bugging you for your Twitter followers.
Yeah, my Twitter, none of them are in Toronto. Nobody knows me here. Anyway.
Can we say Jim Durbin's website one more time slowly?
Socialmediaheadhunter.com.
Yeah. Socialmediaheadhunter.com. Does anyone want to say anything to Jimmy before we let him go?
Thanks, Jim.
Thanks, guys.
Great, great show.
You're the coolest, Jim Durbin.
Yeah, okay. That's it, Jim Durbin. Anybody who wants to stick around for the telephone sourcing show, stay tuned. Goodbye, Jimmy. Welcome to the Telephone Sourcing Show, the talk sourcing show, I should say, with Maureen Sherrup, the queen bee of telephone sourcing. Maureen, are you still here?
I'm here.
You know what? Isn't that funny? I guess that's a salesman's thing. I don't consider myself a salesperson, but I asked the guy, you know, at the end of the date, is it a pass or a fail? Like, he's going to say it's a fail, right?
Mm-hmm.
Guy comes on my show, he's not going to say he didn't enjoy it, so that's a meaningless question. Am I right?
I think so, and I think that the audience over on your Ning site thinks it was a pass, mostly a pass.
Okay, yeah, but that's their that's for them to decide. You can't put the guest on the spot. He can't tell you the truth. And we got a lot of people here.
He can't tell you the truth.
Yeah,
we got a lot of people.
Yeah, I'm
cool.
Come on. Can you ask anybody? Do you like me? What are they going to say? No.
I think it kind of bogged down a little bit in the middle.
You did, with the LinkedIn stuff?
Yeah, and I asked one of the questions, so it's my fault. But
people are really interested in that LinkedIn stuff.
I think Jerry has something
chat
to learn as well, but he's not really interested in that. Okay, but, you know, we got some people here. Let's just go do what Carl's got me on this roll call thing. So Jerry Albright from VerbalSummary.com is here.
Hi,
And area code 541, want to say hi? I know that Maureen's guests are chickens, but if you want to say hello, you just say your first name, say hi, Maureen.
Chicken, you're talking to Eric here.
There's Eric.
Eric Elston. Oh, okay. I'm sorry. I'll leave you out of that.
How you doing?
I'll eatyourlunch.com or something like that, right?
Right.
Is that Eric Gilson?
Yes.
Okay, good.
Eric Gilson. Yes.
Okay. I have Kim Hewitt here in my office listening in as well.
Who's that?
Kim Hewitt.
Okay, I thought it was Hugh Hewitt, the guy, the right wing political guy. The
That's
radio
a brother.
Show? Yeah, okay. Area code 720.com. We want to say hi?
Yep, this is Liz.
Liz, who?
Hey there,
you
it's
think
Frank.
I know you, Liz?
Swanson. Nope, you don't know me.
Okay, hi, Liz.
Is this your first time, Liz?
It is my first time.
Good.
It's everybody's first time. Okay.
We're glad you're here.
I should calm down, Maureen. Now it's your show. I have to calm down, sorry.
No, go ahead. Keep going. You're doing a good job.
Thank you. Area code 7941. Want to say hi to Maureen?
Hi, it's Denise from Florida.
Hey, Denise. How you just got there. From Texas, right?
Just landed and we're sunny Florida looking at pelicans diving into my pond.
There you go.
Okay, we want to talk about telephones here, Denise. Thank you for calling in. Area code 612. Want to say hi to Maureen?
Hey, Maureen. It's Paul the Beddings. I'm in Headhunter.
Hey. He doesn't think you can handle the truth, animal.
Yeah.
That's what he just said on the chat.
Yeah, I believe. He says, you know what, whenever I'm on and he's listening, he says all kinds of nasty things about me on Twitter as well. You think I don't see them? I know how to use those search engines. To the girls, he's very nice. Area code 651.
Greg DeGarian at Temper Software. Can't wait to do the calling there from the Marine.
Yeah.
But
you're
Greg,
in Minnesota?
We had a whole section of the last hour for you. Did you hear that?
You know, the service kept on going out, but I tuned in. It was great. I will be following.
Just listen to the recording. Greg, you know my style. Just listen to the recording. Don't give us a whole song and dance, okay?
Hey, Eric, like my Minnesota friend.
Okay. You see, he likes everybody but me.
Nice.
Area code 312, last person. You want to say hi?
Hey, yeah, it's Frank Scarpelli. Hi, guys.
Hi, Frank, whoever you are.
Frank's on the chat with us.
Okay, so does anyone have a telephone sourcing question for Maureen Sherrup?
Okay, I do.
Go ahead.
Good. Who's this?
Maureen, it's Paul.
Hey, Paul.
So as you listened to Jim's chat earlier, what's the difference between what he's doing as recruiting sourcing and what you're doing with telephone sourcing? Can you use some of what he's doing in your telephone sourcing?
I have to tell the truth. I didn't hear the whole thing.
Okay.
So can you be more specific? How do I use the Internet for my sourcing? Is that what you're asking?
Yes.
Well, I use the internet before I pick up the telephone. I just need a little bit of information about the company. I just need to know a couple people on the inside of the location I'm calling. Once I have that, I get on the phone and use those names.
So you will, like, maybe go to a LinkedIn, do a
sure.
search, come up with
yeah.
some names, and then start
yeah.
down from there?
I will.
She's got a term for that, Paul. She calls it stabbing. She gets somebody's name, and then what do you do, Maureen?
Well, stabbing is a little different. That's when I can't get past the gatekeeper. I will find the internal dial of that company's location, and I will just start calling in. I call it stabbing in.
Oh, I thought you get a name from LinkedIn and then
call
that person.
Well, I do that as well. I'll start my searches, find somebody on LinkedIn, but sometimes there's nobody on LinkedIn that I can use.
Let me ask, if you do get someone from LinkedIn or just stab in, what do you do when you get that person on the phone?
I don't usually get them on the phone. I just use the name to get in. 8 out of 10 of my calls go to voicemail, so I have a pretty high assurance that when I make that call, I'm going to hit that person's voicemail. Once I do, then I zero out, meaning I go back to the receptionist, and I'll complain ever so slightly and subtly, I think, to her that I hit that person's voicemail. Is there someone else in that department we might try? At that point, I'm rolling. And, again, I depend on the fact that I'm going to hit voicemail a lot, and I go back and forth between those people's voicemails and her gathering information.
Hold on a second. I thought you did this stabbing to begin with because – anyone can interrupt me here – because you couldn't get the information from her in the first place. So then when, the next day or 5 minutes later –
It can be 5 minutes later. It can be immediately. If I can't get past the gatekeeper, if she won't help me, I will find the internal dial to that location, and I will just start calling internally, you know, go down the phone tree.
And she doesn't recognize you from a minute before?
No, because I'm calling directly into the company, onto people's desks. I'm using direct dials.
Yeah, but she can recognize your voice, yes or no?
No, I'm not even talking to her.
Yes,
I'm dialing directly into the company. I'm avoiding her altogether.
Yeah, but then when you press zero, you go back to her, right?
Oh, I see what you're saying. I could go back to her, or I can get into the phone system. Once I'm in the phone system, I can find other people's direct dials. If I'm dead in the water with her, I know she's not going to help me any further. I just hang up. I don't hit zero, and then I dial the next direct dial.
How do you get the direct dial, number?
I'll go to the internet. I'll use the area code. I'll find the internal prefix that company.
I don't understand any of those things.
Okay. For instance, if I'm trying to locate an office, the internal dialing system for an office, let's use a company in the Bay Area or San Francisco. I know the area code is going to be 415. So you put the company name into Google, the area code 415, and then I'll hit search, and some phone numbers will come up. Some results will come up that will include phone numbers, and many times they will be the internal dials to that company, the prefix being the second set of three numbers after the area code.
Okay, because the internal to dial directly in is different than to dial the front desk. Is that right?
That's correct. Sometimes dialing directly in requires a different prefix than what the front desk uses.
So this is a very simple form of internet sourcing that you're doing. That I don't know if anybody recommends it, but it works very well for you as a complement to your telephone sourcing, right?
Very well. Mm-hmm. Very
okay.
simple, and it's very effective.
And so then once you go have that, you'll keep calling one number after the other consecutively? Is that the strategy?
Yeah. Many companies will, you know, they'll buy a block of numbers, and those numbers will each fall one after the other, 1001, 1002. I'm talking about the last
four. Okay, so let's say you call 20 numbers in a row, successive numbers, starting with the first internal number you got off of Google. What's
right.
the logic there? What are you trying to do?
I'm trying to find where I need to go. So let's say I dial 1001. You know, I dial the area code, the prefix, and then 1001. That's the first number in their internal dial system. And somebody answers. I will say to that person, I know I have the wrong number. I'm trying to reach the engineering department, research and development. Can you point me in the right direction? Many times they will.
What will they say? How do they point you in the right direction?
They'll say
like?
Something to the effect of, do you know who you're trying to reach? And I'll say, no, I don't. Can you point me? Do you know who the admin is for that group? And I'll just get them talking. And again, you've heard me say this many, many times. I'll say to them, they'll tell me who the administrative assistant is, and then I'll say, in case I reach her, do you know who the manager is in that department? And sometimes they'll know that, and they'll give me that information.
You mean in case you can't reach her?
Yeah, if I can't reach her. Okay. And then if I and I keep using it. In case I can't reach him, it is Christmas, people are on vacation, is there, do you know anybody else in that department I might try so I don't have to bother you again?
Okay.
And many times they will give me information.
Okay, but if you let's say you're looking for sales reps, you wouldn't say, listen, I'm trying to get reach the sales rep for you know, the San Francisco area or West San Francisco. You wouldn't ask that directly?
If I let's say I dial 1001 and I'll say I'm trying to reach the sales department. Can you put me in touch with anyone in the sales department?
Uh-huh.
I know I have the wrong number.
Mm-hmm.
Very simple.
Hey, Maureen.
Hey.
Don't you think that
sales people
are more?
What?
Don't you think? I just have a comment, Animal. Don't you think that the salespeople have a little bit more understanding for what we're trying to do? They're a little bit more free with information. I think they're easier to talk to in general.
Salespeople.
And the people in the sales department.
Yeah, I think anybody if in any department for the to answer that question, I would have to say yes, but. I think in any department, if you approach them correctly, most people will help you.
Maureen,
but salespeople are more helpful generally.
Yeah, I think it depends what you're trying to do. If you're trying to source like you are, maybe that's true. I don't do that. But definitely calling into sales, they'll bleed information faster than anybody. So if you have other, you know, different motives for calling in, that's the number one place to go to, not the CEO or even the ad.
Well, many times I will go to the CEO's executive assistant. I'll go right to the top. You know, I'll talk to the executive assistant because, you know, and Animal's heard me say this many times. She's so busy, she'll just give me the information to be rid of me.
Yeah, Maureen's got like, I don't know, a green thumb in telephone sourcing. Nobody challenges her. You know, she says, hi, I'm Maureen Sherb. I want to know this. Hey, here, go ahead. Everybody else says, but they say to me certain things. She claims it's her attitude that opens the door. Okay,
yeah,
she's got
your
secret sauce. So it's not, I don't know, it's not as easy for everybody else.
No, it's not easy. This is not easy.
Well, you make it sound
it's simple,
like
but it's not easy.
I don't know so much that it's not easy. It's just other people don't do it. They're afraid to do it.
People are afraid to do this. They feel guilty for some reason. Like, you know, they're afraid to ask for information. Go figure.
Yeah, and you
went
to Catholic
school. I think it has something to do with our political
guilty.
Climate.
You went to Catholic school, and you're not guilty. Hey, I got something.
I worked hard to overcome that.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
Maureen, are you using any tools like autodialers, Connect and Sell, or?
No, I don't. Animal, can I excuse myself just for 2 minutes?
Yes, who's that who just asked that question? You go ahead. I'll carry the ball for you. Who asked that question a second ago?
TempWorks. I was looking at a service called Connect and Sell, which has basically an auto dialer on steroids. It does the call for you and allows you to enter what message you had with the person and import and export and so forth. And their claim is that, you know, you can, instead of having 3 connects an hour, if you're working the phones, you can get 8 to 10 connects.
So hold on. Let me understand. I'm not sure. And anybody can, you know, clue me in if I'm dumb. So you enter the phone number online and it keeps calling that number till it gets through? I'm just trying to figure out what this system is. Apparently, Maureen, you know what he's talking about, right?
What is it?
I don't know. Connect. What's it called?
Well, any sort of automated calling service. Apparently, she's not using them. So
no,
I don't.
Yeah,
usually
you know
by my third, fourth, fifth call, I have what I'm looking for. So
yeah,
I don't
on.
Have a need to dial, you know,
just can someone explain to me what is an automated calling service? That's all I want to know.
Well, there are different flavors. The one that is, you know, claiming to be the gorilla out there is something called Connect and Sell. I'm actually trying to see if anyone's used it because I'm considering it. But basically, you upload, let's say you're going to call 100 different numbers, that you upload them, and they do all of the switching back and forth between receptionists or what have you, and that you finally get somebody on the line and you can start talking. So they got people basically doing the grimy stuff that Maureen does really well for you, and so you can, you know, if you're like me, I mean, I'm not a sorcerer like Maureen is, but my time is valuable. I want to be sitting here developing or writing a white paper or something, and when somebody gets on the line, good, I got them. And basically they're selling that, you know, instead of having working the phones and getting 2 or 3 connects an hour, you can get 8 to 10.
Are you then, once you have that connection, are you
looking to make a presentation to that person, though, then? I think Maureen is looking for the name and the title.
Right.
Yeah.
I'm not looking to talk to anybody, really.
On the other hand, you're making a presentation with that connection, which is kind of a different...
So is it like a Girl Friday where you call up and you say, can you get me so-and-so on the line?
Basically, that's what they're doing. But my question actually was more general, because obviously we are talking here about sourcing names, and that is if you're using an auto dialer so that you're not actually... You know,
and an auto dialer is what the name means. It auto dials numbers. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, you click on a button, just like you click on the talk button on the animals show here, and basically you're starting to get connected to them instead of, you know.
I think that's what Animal's asking. Is that correct, Animal?
No, I thought it was the Girl Friday thing, but I thought it was some kind of automated system. But it's live people, little gremlins in India or somewhere that you send out the numbers to, and they do all the dirty grunt work for you.
Are you guys serious? You don't know what he's talking about?
I just get it now. I didn't know, but it sounds like it's people who do the work for you.
Oh.
They're Girl Fridays, just like Maureen said, right?
No.
No.
So explain it to me, please.
No, it's an auto dialer.
No,
it's
going to
dial
100
extensions, and when somebody answers the phone, it's going to switch it over to your line, and you're supposed to pick up and say, hey, and whatever you want to say.
Oh, so that's like marketing calls, right? Telemarketing machine?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay, so we better pass on that because I appreciate it. I learned something, but I didn't know that stuff was available. So where were we in our little telephone sourcing journey, right? Do you remember, Maureen?
Well, Maureen was sharing how she could get into these different accounts, and, you know, the Google search with the area code, that was great for getting the internal numbers.
Boy,
we've got any more
smart
tips
people
like that,
here. Yeah, are you over 40? You haven't lost your memory yet. Okay, so Maureen, I think she disappeared again.
Yeah.
I got a question. When you're called, does anybody do telephone sourcing? Does anyone just use the yellow pages? So the issue there is if you're using the yellow pages, you don't know the size. Hi, Maureen. Thanks
Hi.
For telling us you were leaving.
I'm sorry.
Okay. It's okay. Listen.
I have to go again, but I'll be back in about 30 seconds.
Okay.
Go ahead.
I'll continue.
Thanks. I'm sorry.
Does anybody – bye, Maureen. Does anybody – use the yellow pages, because the problem there is you don't know what size of company you're calling into. So, you know, you get a lot of Mickey Mouse size companies. Does anybody do that, or does everybody qualify their calls before they move ahead? Anybody want to say something there?
Maybe years ago. Not anymore. Zoom Info, anyone using that?
There's too much info on the Internet now, you know. You can say, you know, 50 largest companies in Grand Rapids, Michigan, and they would all be there instead of rooting through the Grand Rapids phone book.
You can put that on Google, 50 largest companies in Grand Rapids, Michigan, and it'll give you a list?
Well, you may not actually get the whole list, but you're going to get a list of companies in Grand Rapids, and you can figure it out from there.
Okay, but really, Grand Rapids, 50, top 50 employers. How about that? I'll just do that right now. I don't know. Grand Rapids, Michigan.
Well, there's something called the Business Journal, and it's in most major cities. It's kind of like Cranes, and they run a top list via which they sell. So,
So that's buying a list. That's different. I'm talking about getting free lists. You can, and every municipality seems to have lists as well of the companies in their neighborhood, but there's not enough information there.
Well, you don't have to buy them all, in all cases. Sometimes they offer the HTML version free online and entice you to buy the Excel or PDF. So you can get a lot of free information if you're willing to do a cut and paste. And if you use a tool like Broadlook, I'm not sure if anybody – they make a suite of tools. Mm-hmm. It has an information or data grabbing tool that will bring down all that information. So you can essentially, scoop up those lists for free.
Well,
Maureen,
go ahead. Just a quick result of my search. The top thing was the 50 largest employers in Michigan, and it comes right up here. I mean, it's – of course, you got your GMs and that kind of stuff, but then it gets into AltaCorp, Botchford Hospital, CompuWare, Soaring Eagle Resort, Children's Hospital, Powertrain Corp, and you can click right on there, and there's everything right there. I mean, largest, so sure you can.
Okay, but
then it brings up the website and their phone number, 497-2400.
I've been calling a lot of uniform companies in the Toronto area.
Yeah,
and you know I'm getting tons of dinky little operations that don't even have a salesperson. So Maureen, I was asking if anybody uses just the yellow pages or if they, because you're using Hoovers, right?
Yes, I use Hoovers.
Okay, but do you ever use the yellow pages or some other you know, very simple source, or you're never working at that level?
You mean to find companies that Hoover's does not have listed?
Well, no, they've got a list of companies to call, yeah. Like, imagine you were looking for a uniform sales representative, someone who sells uniforms.
Yeah.
How would you find your list of companies to call?
I would go to Hoover's, and I would look for the uniform rental companies. And in my search, I would start with those, and once I started to search, I would probably stumble over others. But usually my customer wants specific ones, and I don't add others unless I ask the customer if it's okay.
Well, so the customer does most of the company identification for you?
Usually, yeah.
Really?
Yeah, 9 and 9/10 out of 10 times. So
wow, okay.
I've got a question for Animal.
Go ahead.
Are you saying that you don't just type in Toronto uniform companies into Google as your first approach outside of your own database?
Yes, I did. And what I get is a whole list of companies.
Yeah.
It's just like it's just like going through the yellow pages essentially, and you don't know who you're calling. Some of them, like Cintas, for instance, are big companies.
Yeah.
You get tons of little dinky companies as well. You call them up. We don't have any salespeople, or you end up speaking to somebody. It's like a little shop.
You're
of,
looking for a uniform sales professional?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
And you know what? Contrary to what anyone might say, uniform sales representatives are not on Google. They're not there. Okay? Area code 614, do you want to say hello? You just joined at the end of the show.
Oh, Columbus, Ohio. I love it down there.
Area code 614, want to say hi? No? Okay. You can just listen. Maureen, what do you want to talk about before we go?
You said you had some searches you were having trouble with.
Seems to me I'm talking about them right now.
Okay.
I'm calling. I'm looking for somebody. There's another one. I'm looking for a parking meter salesperson. They can come from any place, but they prefer someone from a service sector. The money's not – I'm surprised. I'm doing some work with a friend of mine who specializes in sales. The money's not great. We're talking $50,000 base and a lot of benefits, et cetera. So the
in Canada?
Gonna make, in Toronto. Still, I think that's not that great for a sales rep, right?
Mm-hmm.
So they're giving us areas. They don't give us companies. Yes, sir.
Animal?
Yep.
Just a little suggestion. I just did a Google search on uniform sales companies. They came up with American Uniform Sales, and I combined it with SIC code. So I've got a SIC code of 5136. That might be one way of narrowing things down in your area, searching on uniform sales and then pick up the 5136 SIC code.
And how would that narrow it down? You're going to get uniform companies in the end anyway, right?
Yeah, you're going to get essentially all companies within that same business sector.
Uh-huh. But lots of them are going to be very small.
Or textiles and that kind of stuff.
Yeah. The only way is, I think if you buy, for instance, here in Toronto, a Scotts directory, which costs a fair bit of money, if you buy the disc, I've got one for manufacturers, but I don't have one for the Greater Toronto area, which maybe I should get. Then you could see, you know, 3 people, 10 people. You probably know there's no separate sales team in there that, you know, the owner's the sales rep. So that's an issue. Nobody seems to have that kind of problem but me. Strange, eh?
Hey, Animal.
Yes, sir.
By any chance, would any of these folks be attending, like, a Chamber of Commerce meeting or whatever? Because if they're a salesperson, aren't they going to be trying to find new customers?
I don't know if salespeople for uniforms are members of Chambers of Commerce. But you know what? Those Chambers of Commerce don't have their open membership lists online.
No, I understand it, but I was thinking you might actually have to go actually see people.
Oh, no, that's not how I want.
How hard could this
town.
Thing be? A uniform?
Oh, it might not cost much to buy a membership, Chamber of Commerce.
I'd have this thing wrapped up in 2 days.
Okay, I'll give you the search and we'll split it. Anybody else want to talk about something to Maureen before we go? Because we're getting close to the end.
Maureen, can I ask an economy question?
Absolutely.
And this isn't so much about your specific business, and I'm sorry I've got a frog in my throat, but I've been sick for a week. How has the economy, or have you seen customers change attitudes towards sourcing? Are any companies starting to say, hey, we want to start gathering names now for 6 months from now?
I'm not seeing that. I'm seeing, and all my sourcer brethren are complaining of the same thing, just as many recruiters are complaining. There's not very much going on. I'm encouraging companies to use this time, though, to tighten up their databases, increase them, check them, you know, bring them up to date so that when it does come back, they're ready. It's a very good question.
It seems to me that this would be the time to be sourcing. I mean, if people are paying attention and looking around and a little scared.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely it is, but a lot of companies are not forward-thinking like that. I agree with you.
Okay.
Well, isn't there a difference here? I mean, Maureen, I gather you're kind of a consultant or a contractor to do that kind of work, where Paul, if I'm not mistaken, you're trying to say, hey, this is a great time for me to build up relationships with the people that I'm going to be able to place or sell to in a few months.
It is a great time to be doing that. I'm doing other things right now. I'm doing a little bit of sourcing, but I've never seen it like this. I've never seen it this slow. And, again, many of my sourcing brethren are saying the same thing. And I am doing other things. I'm doing marketing. I'm working on my websites. I'm doing things like this show more often than I am usually able to do.
Okay, Maureen. And with that, we're going to go. I'm going to say I mentioned Eric Gilson at the beginning. I didn't give out his email address. If he's still here, it's eric@bluespeed.net. Eric, are you still here? Anyway, that's the number if you want,
okay.
Or that's the email address if you want his book of secrets for free.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody?
Is there a show next week?
No. In fact, I think there's a conspiracy against me because next Wednesday is Christmas Eve, and the following Wednesday, would you believe it, is New Year's Eve.
Then
is it Wednesday or Thursday
Wednesday.
Is Christmas Eve?
Animal, we're dying in anticipation. Look forward to it. Thanks a lot.
Okay, for the first week of January, I'm going to give out some recruiting animal awards. I've asked for suggestions, but no one wants to give me
any. What are you calling them?
The animals.
The animals. I like it.
Okay. Thanks, everybody. Goodbye, Maureen. Goodbye, Maureen.
Goodbye.
Thanks, Maureen.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Scanning through the bathroom window. Goodbye, Super School. But now I'm just fucked up.